Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's look to the Lord for help, because I certainly need it today. Our Father, we once again thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that we have your Spirit to guide us and to lead us. We are certainly not skilled to open your word, but your light that comes through this revelation can give us that glorious glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to take it. Pray for your servant today. Lord, I pray for strength that I may impart something that is out of a real experience, not just information passing. Father, we ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our brother quoted the key verse I wanted to say. I've been speaking for the last few times. Today I'm going to conclude what the Lord has been encouraging me. And this is in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we went to 2 Corinthians, and we found out what the definition of lost was. The God of this age has blinded them. And those that are lost are the ones who have not come to the light of the glorious gospel. The lost were in the house of Israel, and that is lost in the world outside. And then we had the two times spoken before the law after the resurrection. In John chapter 21, the last chapter, John would count three times. And of course, the Lord appeared many more times, but the Spirit of God through John counts it three times. The first time he appeared to Mary Magdalene. The second time he appeared to the two disciples walking to Emmaus. Of course, John doesn't record that. He records the latter part of it. Luke picks it up and speaks of them going to Emmaus and that walk. And then the third time is the one we will read today in John 21. Before I go, I have to say the last time I spoke, there was a mathematical error in what I said. And my son pointed it out to me, and I could see young Nate grinning when I said it. I said there was, whatever furlongs was between Jerusalem and Emmaus. And I think it's 60 furlongs, and I said so many miles, and how long it took. And the mistake I made was, I said if they walked 17 miles an hour. Walking 17 miles an hour is very fast. You're faster than Usain Bolt, much faster. So that did not happen, and my son told me, okay, so these two are runners, both these kids, Jonathan and Nate. And I'm a flat foot, I can't run. So I'm glad they pointed it out. What I was saying was it takes about 17 minutes to walk a mile. And that was my calculation. My calculation was correct. It took about 2.5 to 3 hours for the two disciples to go. Now, there were three things. With Mary, what I was bringing in was, I was using this as a mnemonic for me to remember, because God gave us the Holy Spirit without measure. And we have to take him at his word. The Holy Spirit was given for a very specific purpose in our lives. And the Holy Spirit has been operating all the time. Right in Genesis, we see him. The Spirit of God hovered. That was there. If you want to see it, it's in the crisis of creation. The word crisis is nothing but a change. There was nothing before, and God brought in from nothing. He made the world. And Holy Spirit has been operational in the Old Testament. There are 81 references to him being there and working. The Holy Spirit was there when the Lord came on this earth. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and that's how he was conceived. The Holy Spirit was there when the Lord was baptized and set for his ministry. The Holy Spirit was right there when he offered him through the eternal Spirit. We see that. He was there in the resurrection and post-resurrection too. So that is the working of it. In Mary, we see how the Holy Spirit comes to each one of us and is a witness to us. Because she didn't recognize him. She didn't recognize the risen Lord. even when he spoke to her, when he saw her with her eyes. But when he uttered her name, Mary, she said, Rabboni. And that's when she knew. And that corresponds to Isaiah 43. I have called you by your name. I have saved you. And he does that to each one of us. The Son of Man came to seek and to save Dan Edwin. He came to save you, wherever you were. And he spoke to you. And that's the same witness in Romans 8:16. The Spirit of God witnessing to our spirit. Please note, he's not witnessing to our intellect. I'm not saying your mind is not engaged. Your mind is engaged. But the spirit takes preeminence there. Because it's right there. And I said about the missionary who was given truth serum and drugs. Everything was taken out of his head. Except one thing. You are mine. That is this witness. The second one, when they walked to Emmaus, they were very sad. Oh, what is happening? We thought that this great man, the Messiah, he would come. He would bring us out of the Romans. He would give us the kingdom. He was a great prophet. And these were disciples. That is when the Holy Spirit came, as he's rightly known, as Paracletus, the one who comes beside. And what did he bring? The Lord Jesus Christ. Out of the scriptures, he brought the glories of Jesus Christ. When you and I are down, the Holy Spirit will point us to the glories of Jesus Christ. That's how we will get up. And the third thing today, we will see how the Lord will come, through the Holy Spirit will come, and he's Lord, and bring us to our inheritance. He will always point us to the inheritance. We shall also see, Lord willing, in 25 minutes, what inheritance means. Because I have been really encouraged about this one fact, particularly at the time we are in right now. You know, about a year ago, most of us lost a lot of money. The recession hit. Everybody's net worth kind of went down. And you could have seen what really happened. The one word that people lost was confidence. Whichever side of the economic argument you take, capitalism, socialism, thisism, thatism, the one thing the markets lost was confidence. And what does the writer of the Hebrews say again and again? Keep your confidence, because there is a recompense of reward. You need to endure. The Lord is our confidence. And in all these things, the important thing to understand, at least I have been encouraged for that, is the idea that when God has purposed something, he will bring it to pass. Okay? There is nothing in this world that can stop you and me reaching God's goal for you and me. And I said this by reference in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. When God had purposed it, who can annul it? In that very chapter is the chapter where the Lord says, I saw Lucifer fall as lightning to the ground. Immediately he came down. And he is the one who is telling you and me that your purpose for God will not come to fruition. But when we remember that he has called us by name, that he comes alongside in our trials, that he brings us to remind us of the glories of Christ, and he brings us the thought of our eternal inheritance, we can take the next step in faith. Now that's the little preamble. Let's turn to the Word of God. And I want you, after I've quoted Luke 19:10, to go to the last chapter of the Bible, the lost. Pardon my accent, it's L-O-S-T, the lost chapter of the Bible, which is Luke chapter 15. And let me read the first few verses there, because it's a wonderful introduction to that chapter. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying. Please look at the context. They drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. What a wonderful contrast. Those who wanted to be near him were sinners. Those who wanted to hear him were publicans, the discard of the society. The Pharisees and others said, we don't need to hear him. We have our righteousness. We have our goodness. And then the gracious Lord, called the Word, opens his mouth and speaks one parable. Now, my theological friends may disagree. We may say there are three parables, but I say he only spoke one. There are three divisions to the parable. In the first case, 1 out of 100. Second case, 1 out of 10. And in the last case, it is 1 out of 2. No, it's both. And that's where we'll pick it up. Two sons. We'll pick it up in verse 11. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. And he divided unto them his living. What did the younger son ask for? His inheritance. He said, give it to me. And the father said, here, take it. The young man took it, went away, righteous living, and all these things happened. He was sitting among the swine. And the father, and he realizes in verse 18, I will arise, go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He returns to the father. And the father receives him with great joy. When he comes far away, he goes. He kisses him. He brings him back without the townspeople deriding him and looking at his state. He gives him a new robe, the robe of righteousness. He gives him a ring, the ring of authority to be a son. He gives him shoes to walk about. And then we see something else. Verse 25, Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing. He didn't like it, the older brother. Because, why? Verse 28, And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. What did the older boy have to complain? And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. You never gavest me a kid. The older son, who was with the father, still did not know how to enjoy what the father had. He was always near him, but he didn't know how to enjoy what the father wanted to give him. And that is where we see the inheritance come in. Please turn with me to John chapter 21. And here we see something. In 21, he says, After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And in this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon, Thomas Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto him, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth, entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat about unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. They were there, they went fishing. Now we can start a little discourse on poor Peter and say, he went fishing, he should have been waiting for the Lord, what happened? I don't like to fault Peter very much. The reason is, I find Peter, of all the disciples, I find Peter to be the closest person to me. I am as impulsive as Peter. I think I am very brave. I say things like Peter, and I cannot follow it up. But one thing is there about Peter. When the Lord had prophesied that he would betray him, he said something wonderful. He said, Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. And the Lord didn't stop there. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. That Peter became a very brave man. On himself, he was a coward. But when he saw his risen Lord and the Holy Spirit was in him, he was a firebrand to the Lord. The Lord can take men like Peter, men like you, men like me, women like you, women like other everywhere in the world, and make them for God. He is the one who will make him. So anyway, Peter did something. When the Lord called him, Peter left everything and came. If you want to read it, you can read it in Luke chapter 18, verse 28. Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. Where did Peter get his boat? Back to go fishing. Maybe he had put it somewhere there. So now that the Lord was crucified, Peter didn't know what to do. He must have gone, taken all the boat back 3 years. It was lying in somewhere there, took his boat, went fishing. Probably. I'm not sure about all that. But one thing we know, Peter went. And the others went with him. And this mighty fisherman could not get anything. But then the Lord comes and says, stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, what did Jesus say? He uses a very, very, pardon me, odd noun there. He doesn't call them beloved. He doesn't call them friends. He calls them children. Why? Because he had been resurrected. He, the Son of Man, had come to seek and to save. Now that he was crucified, his offering was accepted in heaven. He had brought many sons to glory. If you read the portion that our brother Weston read this morning, Hebrews chapter 2, bringing many sons unto glory. It is like the captain of salvation leading a big host and walking to the Father. And that is why in the lost chapter of the Bible, it says, anytime a man repents, what is it? There is joy in heaven among the angels. Our brother Bob was referring to the riches. His riches is bringing many sons to glory. What did the Lord say to Peter when Peter said, Lo, we left all and followed thee? And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, this is... There is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting. Then he took unto him the 12 and said, Behold, we go to Jerusalem. And that's where things will happen. What did he say when they came and told him, Behold, your mother and your brothers are outside. Who is my mother and my brother? These are my brothers. Ones who do the will of God. And that is our inheritance. God is bringing to us where our inheritance is. It is not in the things of this world. It is not in the stock market. It is not in the land that we own or whatever it is. As the Bible puts it so very well, where rust and moth doth corrupt, it is in heaven. It is there, our inheritances. But when we see one another, we see what God has in mind for us. It is, and the important thing is to realize that we don't want to be saved because we don't want to go to that awful place called hell. But we want to be saved because Jesus Christ is worthy to be honored, to be obeyed, and to be worshipped, and to be served. That is the difference. Because when we do it because we want to escape hell, it's all about me. I don't want the hair on my back to be singed. I don't want that awful place. What about the obedience that is for Jesus Christ, the one who is the just and who died for the unjust, that he might bring us to God? It is here the Lord uses this very, pardon me to say, odd expression, because he now, the Son of Man, has brought many sons to glory. Isaiah 43 would say, I have created them for my glory. Every human being is to give glory to God. And the glory that is he will receive is by obedience, as his son did. And we ought to do that. But there are many of us, human beings, who are rejecting God, who are walking away from God. And there too he will receive his glory in perfect judgment. But by the grace of God, you and I can give him the glory that is due to his name now in our lives. When we accept him as our Lord and our Savior. And that is what he refers here. Children, have you any meat? And you know something? The Word of God is so wonderful. And it just baffles me when I read it more and more. John would pick up this expression. And he would use it in the last three epistles that he writes. Little children, children, children. He's grown old. He's in Patmos. He begins to use the expression his Lord was using. Why? Because he suddenly found how great a place, a larger place, he has been brought into. The inheritance of God. We may have nothing in this world, but you know what? We have each other. Why? Because we have the common life of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. Our brother made a remark which I thought was funny. Throughout the week, when I don't see another Christian, I'm happy to see a Christian's dog. Something like that he mentioned this morning. I'm not so sure how biblical that'll be, but it was funny. But, you know, when Mary went to see her cousin Elizabeth, what does the Bible record? The Bible says, both were filled with the Holy Spirit, And Elizabeth, filled with her Holy Spirit, says, "As soon as I heard your voice, the babe leaped in my womb," because you can recognize Christians that way. The Spirit of God will connect you and another Christian. You know, this is said of one time. This is Schiphol Airport, which is Amsterdam. Two brothers, you know, that's a very busy airport because everybody from east and west fly into that. So their two brothers were there. They were waiting for flights. They were reading the Bible. One brother was from Africa, one brother from the West. Neither of them know the language, but they were reading the Bible. So one brother took his Bible and he said, "Hallelujah." The other brother picked up his Bible and said, "Amen." Hallelujah means praise the Lord. Amen means so be it. We may not know the language, but there is a connection. And this is true, because in the psalm, it talks about deep calleth unto deep. The Spirit of God in you will bind me to me. And that's how we are, the body of Christ. All differences will go away. National, race, poor, rich, educated, uneducated, male, female, Scythian, barbarian, Greek, everything will go away. You will begin to see the other one, and I will begin to see. And that's why when we have the Lord's table, sometimes we say, you know, physically we may not be able to do this, but if we sit around the table, we see one another through the cross of Christ. And that's why Paul would say in Romans, receive one another even as Christ has received you. We don't have to be like Simon the leper. He was looking at the woman who was worshiping the Lord in silence. He said, shouldn't he know what kind of a sinner she is? That doesn't enter into our thoughts in the morning. We know we were all sinners. But he paid the price. And that's why we have common union or communion with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the inheritance. Let us go on a little bit more. That word occurs in Ephesians, and I've just got 5 minutes, and I'll close. Very quickly, if you turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And that word would occur twice. And yesterday, I looked this up, and it was fascinating what this word means. It occurs in chapter 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. And then in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. This talks about the Holy Spirit being given as a down payment, a guarantee for the inheritance. And the word in 14 and in 18 and in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 15, three times this word occurs. It's a Greek word that I cannot pronounce, but it means something that was allotted to you. It was an allotment given to you, specifically measured out. And that is what God is looking, ready to give you the inheritance. And it says here, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Please remember, we were created with a purpose. We just did not evolve out of something. My ex-boss once was joking to me. He knows I'm a Christian, but he would always joke and say things. And then he said, you know, there are a bunch of these foolish people who believe that one day there will be, Jesus Christ will come back, and in a minute they'll all go away. I told him, Charles, I'm one of those. And he said, do you believe that, Dan? Do you? And he used a word that I can't use now. You believe that? I said, yes. I said, Charles, you believe that 13 billion years ago, something huge explosion happened and a microbe suddenly turned into a man. You believe that? I believe this. That in a twinkling of an eye, in a nanosecond, I will be with the Lord and will be like him. Why is it impossible, Charles, for you to believe? Because he cannot see. The God of this age has blinded him. And he cannot see what we can see with our eyes of faith, that inheritance. And I was just going to give you a couple of references. I'm not going to go there. If you go through the mighty men of David, you know, they are categorized in different ways. There are three guys who are the tops. Two of them, and I know one of them, I think his name is something, Eliezer, the son of Dodo, because I remember the name Dodo. It kind of was funny to me. Eliezer, the son of Dodo. And there was another guy, Shammah, who was the son of Aggi the Harite. They did something fantastic. I said, I know, I shouldn't say the word fantastic. They did something great. What did they do? They stood in a parcel of land. I believe that was their inheritance. One guy fought because it was a field of barley. The other guy fought because it was a field of lentil. Now, I don't want to take a poll here. I don't think barley and lentil are at the top of our list in our foods. These were land that was not of great value. But you know what? It was their inheritance. And they were going to fight it. And in both cases, it says the Lord gave them a great deliverance. When you and I stand in the place where God has put us and claim it in that family that which needs prayer, maybe it's your spouse that's not saved. Maybe it's your brother that's not saved. Maybe it's your children that's not saved. Maybe it's your son-in-law that's not saved. Pray. God will bring that person, will save that person. He is able. He is able. I think I have one more minute. And the last word is, we were talking about inheritance. Our inheritance in him. Now, if you really want something that blows your socks away, read verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in all the saints. He has an inheritance. And you know what that is? It is poor, vile sinners like you and me. That is his inheritance. And he died for you and me. And as our brother was saying, I couldn't have said it better than what our brother Bob said this morning. He's showing each one of us to God the Father. And he's saying, I have purchased him. I have redeemed him. He is mine. And he will guard you like his inheritance. Nothing will touch you and me. That's why he has numbered the hairs of your head, my head. We can walk through that fire. We can walk through that water. And the furnace may be heated 7 times when they throw you and me inside. But he will be there with you. And they can't even smell the fire on you or the smoke on you. Because he is God. That's where, when we are going through our difficulties, each of us has our own share. But there's a word, in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. And he is able to save to the uttermost. And he will bring us to that glory. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we once again thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this word. Be with each one of us as we part. Bring us back at the due time. Lord, we pray especially for those that are going through great difficulties among our gathering here. Pray in a very special way for our dear brother Jensen, Molly, and the children. Pray for others whom we may not know, suffering the persecution and the taunts of the evil ones. Commit them to you. Thank you once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.